Yes, the ash was black. No, it should not have been. Most common ash has a dark component, but is just as much gray or white as it is black. Ash from the ash mounds. It was different. Like the mists themselves, the ash covering our land was not truly a natural thing. Perhaps it was the influence of ruin's power, as black as preservation was white. Or perhaps it was simply the nature of the ash mounds, which were designed and created specifically to blast ash and smoke into the sky. 19. Get up. Everything was dark. Get up. Spook opened his eyes. Everything seemed so dull, so muted. He could barely see. The world was a blur, and he felt numb, dead. Why couldn't he feel? Spook, you need to get up. The voice, at least, was clear. Yet everything else felt muddy. He couldn't quite manage to think. He blinked, groaning quietly. What was wrong with him? His spectacles and cloth were gone. That should have left him free to see, but everything was so dark. He was out of tin. There was nothing burning in his stomach. The familiar flame, a comforting candle within, was no longer there. It had been his companion for over a year, always there. He'd feared what he was doing, but he had never let it die. And now it was gone. That was why everything seemed so dull. Was this really how other people lived? How he used to live? He could barely see. The sharp, rich detail he'd grown accustomed to was gone. The vibrant colors and crisp lines. Instead, everything was bland and vague. His ears felt clogged. His nose... he couldn't smell the boards beneath him. Couldn't tell the species of wood by scent. Couldn't smell the bodies that had passed. Couldn't feel the thumpings of people moving about in other rooms. And he was in a room. He shook his head, sitting up, trying to think. Immediately a pain in his shoulder made him gasp. The wound had not been cared for. He remembered the sword piercing him near the shoulder. That was not a wound one recovered from easily. Indeed, his left arm didn't seem to work right, one of the reasons he was having so much trouble rising. "You've lost a lot of blood," the voice said. "You'll die soon, even if the flames don't take you. Don't bother to look for the pouch of tin at your belt. They took that."
"Flames?" Spook croaked, blinking.
How did people survive in a world that was this dark?
"Can't you feel them, Spook? They're near."
There was a light nearby, down a hallway. Spook shook his head, trying to clear his mind. "I'm in a house," he thought. "A nice one, a nobleman's house. And they're burning it down." This finally gave him motivation to stand, though he immediately dropped again, his body too weak, his mind too fuzzy, to keep him on his feet.
"Don't walk," the voice said.
Where had he heard that voice before? He trusted it.
"Crawl," it said.
Spook did as commanded, crawling forward.
"No, not toward the flames. You have to get out, so you can punish those who did this to you. Think, Spook."
"Window,"
Spook croaked, turning to the side, crawling toward one of them.
"Boarded shut," the voice said. "You saw this before, from the outside. There's only one way to survive. You have to listen to me."
Spook nodded dully.
"Go out the room's other door. Crawl toward the stairs leading to the second floor."
Spook did so, forcing himself to keep moving. His arms were so numb they felt like weights tied to his shoulders. He'd been flaring tin so long that normal senses just didn't seem to work for him anymore. He found the stairs, though he was coughing by the time he got there. That would be because of the smoke, a part of his mind told him. It was probably a good thing he was crawling. He could feel the heat as he climbed. The flames seemed to be chasing him, claiming the room behind him as he moved up the stairs, still dizzy. He reached the top, then slipped on his own blood, slumping against the side of the wall, groaning.
"Get up!" the voice said.
"Where have I heard that voice before?" he thought again. "Why do I want to do what it says? It was so close. He'd have it if his mind weren't so muddled."
Yet he obeyed, forcing himself to his hands and knees again.
"Second room on the left," the voice commanded.
Spook crawled without thinking. Flames crept up the stairs, flickering across the walls. His nose was weak, like his other senses, but he suspected that the house had been soaked with oil. It made for a faster, more dramatic burn that way.
"Stop. This is the room."
Spook turned left, crawling into the room. It was a study, well furnished. The thieves in the city complained that ransacking places like this one wasn't worth the effort. The citizen forbade ostentation, and so expensive furniture couldn't be sold even on the black market. Nobody wanted to be caught owning luxuries, lest they end up burning to death in one of the citizen's executions.
"Spook!"
Spook had heard of those executions. He'd never seen one. He'd paid Dern to keep an eye out for the next one. Spook's coin would get him advance warning, as well as a good position to watch the building burn down. Plus, Dern promised he had another tidbit, something Spook would be interested in, something worth the coin he'd paid.
"Count the skulls." "Spook!"
Spook opened his eyes. He'd fallen to the floor and begun to drift off. Flames were already burning the ceiling. The building was dying. There was no way Spook would get out, not in his current condition.
"Go to the desk," the voice commanded.
"I'm dead,"
Spook whispered.
"No, you're not. Go to the desk."
Spook turned his head, looking at the flames. A figure stood in them, a dark silhouette. The walls dripped, bubbled, and hissed, their plaster and paints blackening. Yet this shadow of a person didn't seem to mind the fire. That figure seemed familiar, tall, commanding.
"You?"
Spook whispered.
"Go to the desk."
Spook rolled to his knees. He crawled, dragging his useless arm, moving to the side of the desk.
"Right drawer."
Spook pulled it open, then leaned against the side, slumping. Something was inside.
Vials?
He reached for them eagerly. They were the kinds of vials used by allomancers to store metal shavings. With trembling fingers, Spook picked one up. Then it slipped free of his numb fingers. It shattered. He stared at the liquid that had been inside. An alcohol solution that would keep the metal flakes from corroding, as well as help the allomancer drink them down.
"Spook!"
the voice said. Dully, Spook took another vial. He worked off the stopper with his teeth, feeling the fire's blaze around him. The far wall was nearly gone. The fires crept toward him. He drank the contents of the vial, then searched inside of himself, seeking tin. But there was none. Spook cried out in despair, dropping the vial. It had contained no tin. How would that have saved him anyway? It would have made him feel the flames and his wound more acutely.
"Spook!"
the voice commanded.
"Burn it!"
"There is no tin!" Spook yelled.
"Not tin. The man who owned this house was no tin-eye."
"Not tin." Spook blinked. Then, reaching within himself, he found something completely unexpected. Something he'd never thought to ever see. Something that shouldn't have existed. A new metal reserve. He burned it. His body flared with strength. His trembling arms became steady. His weakness seemed to flee, cast aside like darkness before the rising sun. He felt tension and power, and his muscles grew taut with anticipation.
"Stand!"
His head snapped up. He leaped to his feet, and this time the dizziness was gone. His mind still felt numb, but something was clear to him. Only one metal could have changed his body, making it strong enough to work despite his terrible wound and blood loss. Spook was burning pewter. The figure stood in the flames, dark, hard to make out.
"I've given you the blessing of pewter, Spook," the voice said. "Use it to escape this place. You can break through the boards on the far side of that hallway, escape out onto the roof of the building nearby. The soldiers won't be watching for you. They're too busy controlling the fire so it doesn't spread."
Spook nodded. The heat didn't bother him anymore.
"Thank you."
The figure stepped forward, becoming more than just a silhouette. Flames played against the man's firm face, and Spook's suspicions were confirmed. There was a reason he'd trusted that voice, a reason why he'd done what it had said. He'd do whatever this man commanded.
"I didn't give you pewter just so you could live, Spook," Kelsier said, pointing. "I gave it to you so you could get revenge. Now go!"